Tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on WWCR 5070 worldwide, the voice that is heard around the world. Praise Yahweh, the mighty mover, the station of envy of all the other shortwave stations, WWCR. Glad to have you aboard. Now, let's go to the Bible real quickly. We're going to lay a text foundation for you and establish a gestalt of thinking. Back to Genesis chapter 6, but we're going to begin through the revelation of the Apostle Peter that spoke in the third chapter of 2 Peter, and he really talks about the flood and the time that we had this great catastrophic event upon the earth. And then he recalls that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, when the kingdom is finished and the end is declared, the final, the requiem, the judgment, the throne set of Matthew 25:31, then the Father's coming back. Yes, well, what would be the state of man's mind? Just like it was in the days of Noah. Just like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like it was in Lot's time, where they vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their filthy deeds. And today, ladies and gentlemen, our prayer has been taken out of our school. We have no right to acknowledge God as a Christian nation. It is against our Constitution. Well, either the Constitution was written correctly to start with, or we have those liberal judges on the Supreme Court that is actually undermining what the intent, and I believe they knew the intent of our fathers, the founding fathers, to proclaim this as a God-fearing nation of Christian people that would fear Yahweh and keep His commandments. But the time preceding this and the time of trouble that was spoken of in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, I would that we have time to go to all these things that I refer to, because there's a lesson and a message contained in it. But I want to talk to you tonight above all things tonight. My mind is centered on the flood. Now, I'm going to ask you some very, very perplexing, maybe hopefully, mind-searching, stirring questions about the flood. The misconception about the flood. Was the flood, and this may be a scientific issue here, because I believe that the word is correct in what it says, that the flood came and the flood conquered to whom it came for. But was the flood worldwide? That's one of the issues we'll cover in this segment, and I might have to do a three-part series on this very important, I believe, document of information that I'm going to present to you. And I'm going to use as a text tonight a quote from Peter that he gave about the Apostle Paul. And therefore, my beloved, seeing that you look for such things, and these are the elements of the mysteries that we're going to talk about, Peter wanted you to be very careful and pay particular attention to some of the things that are written in the epistles, especially of Paul. Now listen to verse 15. be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's in the last days, when the Bible said this will come upon man unaware. It'll come upon the disobedient unaware, if you will. The unthankful and the unholy, the lawbreakers. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the lawbreakers, not of the Constitution, but of the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. Oh, you say, oh, now, there you go, Pastor Buddy. You're old-fashioned, and this is the problem with you preachers. You stand and you beller like mad bulls in a china shop, pleading and trying to condemn us and take us back under the law. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is coming back to punish lawbreakers, not lawkeepers. So the question could be, which would you rather be, lawless or lawful, abiding in the Scriptures? Now, many take the epistles of Paul. This is where the great mysteries come in. They take the mysteries of Paul, as Peter is alluding here in the 15th verse, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, and also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they also do the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. A wrestling of the mind, the propounding mysteries of the mind. Now, what was Peter alluding to here? He was talking about that, knowing this in the third verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of. This is the key verse to the understanding that the flood was not a worldwide, catastrophic, all mankind destroying event. Well then, Pastor Buddy, you say, well, the Bible says there in the 6th chapter of Genesis, glory to God, that God brought the flood and killed every living thing upon the earth. Well, you see, ladies and gentlemen, if we read the Bible as it is now revised, word changed, if you will, misappropriation of words and mistranslations, we can come up with this preconceived notion that is so deceptive to the mind that the mind lays in a mysterious form trying to fashion an understanding, and thereby we miss the whole understanding that the Word tried to convey to us to begin with. Now listen to this. Whereby, now listen to this now, verse 5, for this they are willingly ignorant of. Some people are willingly, and you know what it means by willingly ignorant? That they hold to a form and a fashion and tradition of corporeal understanding. Now, what I mean by that, when the world consensus locks in on something that they understand to be true, and in truth it's not, a lie often told enough, Hitler says, becomes established truth. So then, it's very important for Satan to send you down to the recesses of your mind to believe a lie and be damned. Now, what does that mean? That means if you're not willing to search the Scriptures, if you're not willing to comprehend, if you're not willing to hunger and thirst after the righteousness of His Word. For this they are willingly ignorant of by the Word of God. The heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water. Now think about that. the earth in the flood was still in some areas, and I conclude most, was standing out of the water. I'll get into the word change. I'll go back to Genesis 6. We'll cover the word change and the meaning and the corporate understanding of man to believe a lie after it's been told and tradition has been handed down. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that history even defies man's logic and understanding that the flood was worldwide? That we have a continuing dynasties of empires, of civilizations that survived even during the time of the flood? India, China, and even Egypt, in the supposedly localized area surrounding in the Middle East where the flood would have assumed the Garden of Eden being, as most people believe it was, in the basin of Iran, running up to the Himalaya Mountains, which, by the way, protrude up to an amazing 6 miles in height. So then, if the Himalayas were the highest mountain chain, and you see the earth geographical valleys, mountains, and they periodically change through earth disruptions and displacements of the earth as the plates of earthquakes and things shift, volcanic eruption that cause mountain chains to appear right even under the ocean. There are mountains under the ocean that are extremely high that's covered with water, even right now. Matter of fact, this is an amazing thing. Only one-third of the land on the earth is dry, even now. Two-thirds of the earth is inundated with water. The ocean bodies cover two-thirds of the earth's surface, even as we speak, in a natural sense. And man, in his relationship as a flesh body, is made up of three-quarters of his body is water. Isn't that amazing? That we are in tune and in balance with the earth that we stand upon, and yet the Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, this they're willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God of old, that the earth was standing out of the water. When the flood come, Peter acknowledges here that part of the earth was still standing out of the water. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever caught that? Have you ever wondered about the flood and the improbabilities, the odds against the earth being inundated with a 6 mile high wall or fountain of water that would cover the highest mountain chain? And that this water would have to seek its own level, and so the whole earth would have to be encompassed with six, at least at this present state, 6 mile body of water? Have you ever condensed, or have you ever figured the mass of the weight, the tonnage, the billions of tons? The earth's mass even itself could not withstand a inundated earth as 6 miles of water, and it's also scientifically impossible for that to happen. Plus the fact that all of the animals that Noah was supposed to have taken into the ark that was native to that area, and if the flood was worldwide, he would have had to gather animals from around the earth and around the world. Have you ever thought about that? That the animals and all of the little creeping things upon the earth, the bugs, everything that was upon the earth that was not manual, that was a fish-like nature that breathed under the water, the Bible would declare, as some read, and we'll correct that just in a moment because it's not, it doesn't read that, that every living thing died in the earth. It doesn't say that. The word every and the word covered the earth is a mistranslation in most Bibles today. We're going to talk about that because here Peter sets the record straight, that he knew that by the word, the earth being overflowed with water. He didn't say that. He didn't say the earth was overflowed with water. Even in your New Testament, people have mistranslated the word. Here is "whirl," and the word is 2889 in the Strong's in the Greek, and look it up. It's just like when Caesar Augustus in the New Testament, and the decree, the Bible said, went out that all the world would be taxed. He didn't say all the world. Caesar Augustus wasn't emperor of over all the world. He just ruled the Roman Empire and the province that they had occupied, which was not near all the world. Most people had never heard of Caesar Augustus and had never paid one dime of tax to the Roman Empire. And yet, that misconstrued understanding, and this is what is said by many, wrestle with the scriptures of Paul to their own death and destruction. Take heed, because Peter says that they are willingly ignorant. Isn't it strange how the mind gets in a groove and tradition takes precedent over truth? No wonder Christ cried in the teachings many times and said, "For well you reject the commandment truth of Yahweh to keep your own tradition." Oh yes, we have many preachers, ignorant and unlearned, wrestling with the scriptures of Paul and others to their own death and destruction. You know why? Because the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God, and indeed neither can be. For they are spiritually discerned by the inspiration and the leadership that so few have of the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, ladies and gentlemen, straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that have of the Holy Spirit for instruction. Now, Yahweh said, "I'll send you prophets, but you won't hear them. You will sit in your convenient places with your mind in neutral park." Most people, when they go to a bell box, they put their brain in park. Just like they park their automobile outside, they go in, they get very comfortable in their very nice, warm, or air-conditioning assemblies. And then the preacher, who is trained in the cemeteries of thought and understanding with the doctors of DD, dumb dogs, they bark and sing well and play, and the choirs and everything is orchestrated to look good and holy and just and clean as they stand in their choir robes, and the pastor dons his long robes and with smooth speech and ear-tickling messages, the brain of the thinking man is willingly susceptible to being dumbed down to real truth. You see, if your mind is not provoked, if your mind is not stirred up, if the pure mind, if the word is not hard enough to inspire you to dig deep, to pray, to fast, ladies and gentlemen, this truth, as wonderful and magnanimous as it is so rare that it's like fine gold. The refinery can only put out a little of fine gold by smelting, that is, putting the fire to the iron ore or metals that they smelt and develop the precious metals. In this case, the fine gold, one-third will only be refined through the fire, and the rest, the two-thirds, as the ratio is to the earth to the water, the flood, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh. Isn't it marvelous how that the inspiration of the Holy Spirit has hid these things, these great mysteries, from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes and sucklings? Christ, when he was employing the word for the lost sheep, He compared them as to the mother clucking hen, clucking to the chicks to come and hide under the wings of safety, rightly dividing the word of truth, not submitting your brain to park in these parking lots of doom and cemeteries of tradition. Full well, they are willingly ignorant because the world, isn't that the same word that the whole world was taxed? Yes, same word. Doesn't mean the world, but the specific area of where that they were talking about in this specific instance would be in the Roman Empire that was certainly not a worldwide empire. The world, they are willingly ignorant. Isn't that amazing? That the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water. Now think about that. The earth was standing not inundated or covered, but standing out of the water. Now let's go back to the book of Genesis, and we'll pick up where part of this mistaken ideal about the flood is due to the many mistranslations found in the commonly used Bibles, English in particular. Almost part or all appears plainly to be false if you merely carefully read even the King James Version. Now let's have a look at it. In Genesis chapter 6, we read that God found the people so corrupt that he regretted that he had ever created them, and so he decided to wipe them out in a flood. Now he warned righteous Noah of the coming flood and told Noah to build a great boat or an ark in which he and his family might find safety and where they might preserve a few, that is, 8 souls, with the kind of animals from that area. In chapter 7, it tells how Noah received the final warning, and the time was now at hand, and he should move into the ark, and the door was closed. Then it says, according to the King James Version, that it came to pass after 7 days that the waters upon the earth came, and the flood was upon the earth. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month and the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did these waters prevail. My, if that included the entire planet, the earth. We're talking about 15 cubics that was above the highest mountain chain. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a tremendous amount of water. Now, the waters prevailed, the Bible says, 150 days. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water assaged. And the waters returned from off the earth continuously, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, and upon the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. Now, all these dates are significant. When I teach on the Sabbath and the 8th day, I go to these scriptures because hidden within this very revealing text is some key dates to mark the beginning of time as we renew time in the keeping of Yahweh. Now, let us see here what the translators have done to what Moses originally wrote. This is the key to the whole understanding and the misconception and the mistranslations that are in the Bible. And it says that the waters increased greatly upon the earth. Now keep in mind, the earth. and that all flesh died that moved upon the earth. Really? Remember that in Genesis 4:14, when God had driven Cain away in punishment for his murder of Abel, the King James Version quotes Cain as saying, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth." So what did Cain do? Did he climb into his rocket ship and leave the face of the earth? Of course not, because this is not a correct translation. No. He was not driven from the face of the earth, and we emphasize the earth, and he never said so. Only the translators said that he was driven from the face of the earth. The word Cain used at Ad-Armah, meaning the ground. God had told him that farming would no longer be in his profession, that the earth would not yield to Cain. And so Cain said, "Thou hast driven me off of the ground," not the face of the earth, as it is mistranslated in the Bible. So Cain wasn't driven off from the face of the earth. He was driven from the ground because the ground never bared or yielded its increase to him. Now, let me ask you a question. There is a people in the earth that are not farmers. They cannot farm. They make their living by running financial empires, by international banking, by pawn shops and jewelry stores. They make their living. Now, notice here, when we come to Genesis 7, there is something very, very interesting for you to look at. And you Bible students, I'm talking to you Bible students, and I challenge you to get into your concordances and do your word searches. And if you need this information, I have it for you tonight. We can supply, or we can put you on the road to understanding. The earth was not completely covered with water. There was only a specific basin where the sons of Adam and the Nephilim were congregating, this man Adam and his offspring from Genesis 5 begin to mix and mingle their seed with this ungodly consortment of fallen ones in Genesis 6. We're going to come back there. I'm laying you a gestalt. I'm going to cover it broad brush, and then I'm going to come back and really fill in the particulars so that your understanding would be fruitful. How that the angelic beings came down. Where were they from? Well, the Bible says in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations that the war that started in heaven to drive out these fallen ones really, literally started before the world was. You see, this plot was hatched up in the mind of the Satans, these gods, these fallen gods, these demonic beings now that are depossessed. They are now cast out of heaven. Now, they're wandering stars. Do they have technology superior to man? Is the angelic beings still living that were disobedient in the days of Noah? Well, of course they were. And now, the Bible says that they were bound into a prison. Now, I'm just broad brushing here because I will fill in the particulars and give you verse, book, verse, and chapter when we get back into the second segment of understanding of why that the earth was flooded to start with. This is very important for your understanding and for your comprehension of exactly why the earth was flooded with this flood to destroy Adam kind, with the exception of Noah and his sons, the three sons, the three daughters and laws of Noah and his wife, eight souls. Eight is a new beginning, and that's what we get here, is a new beginning for the righteous genetics, or the genetics of Noah, that is a descendant from Adam. The rest were beasts of the field, and the Cain disbursement. Now, if you look up the word 7014 in the Strong's for the word Cain, oh my, I wish I'd go back to the 6th chapter and cover this, into the 5th chapter and the 4th chapter where Cain's genealogy runs to, and have time to go into that. We'll cover this later, but I want to get into tonight the flood and the reason for the flood and the beginning of the flood that it did not cover. And I'll cover one more aspect of a word search for you, and that word is the Hebrew word E-H-R-E-T-S, Eretz. The word Eretz is a word that is in the Strong's, and you need to look at word Eretz. I spelled it for you. Let me spell it again for you. The word E-H-R-E-T-S, Eretz. Look that word up, and notice that the Bible was badly mistranslated here. Only the translators made this mistake, and since then, the world has believed that the flood was universal. And that's not true. Only Yahweh had the wisdom to destroy that eighth-day creation man, Adam, and his offspring who had mixed with the fallen angels of Genesis 6 and the other beast of the field of Genesis 1, 26 and 27. These are the beast kind, in other words, man without the breath of life. You see, Adam was breathed into and became a living soul. The rest of them didn't have identification souls that God holds accountable. They're here for his purposes, granted. And a large portion of the earth belongs to them for their habitation, granted. But you see, God kept his people, the descendants of Adam, through the sons of Seth, on down to Abraham, who incidentally was not a Jew. Now, this misconception that Abraham was a Jew, and I have a reward that I would like to offer anyone tonight that can prove that Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob was Jewish. Not one drop of Jewish blood was in Abraham, Isaac's, or Jacob's veins. Isn't that strange? But the blood of Judah, Jacob's son, was offspring from him, and from this union came a very, very interesting scenario that God Almighty frowned on, because in the 38th chapter of Genesis, Judah, the fourth son from Leah, of Jacob's strength. Remember, I gave you in the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis a very important segment of understanding there, and it's a very deep message, and I've taught on this before, and I will cover it as we go along periodically to remind you that not everything that glistens is gold. There's a fool's gold, particularly alluded to in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. I know that you've tried them that say they are Jews and are not, but you found them to be liars. That's fool's gold. That's people that appear to be God's people, have changed themselves by nature and by tradition and character into God's people. They come before you as God's people. They sit before you as God's people. They say and do not. These are the liars that Christ alluded to in Revelation 2 and 9 and 3 and 9, where he said, I found them to be liars, and they're not Jews. They're imposters. Now, why would this be? Because they were mixed with Cain's seed. And Cain's seed, coming from the garden, when Eve was impregnated in the garden, she had her sons, two of them, twins, paternal twins, meaning two different fathers. Oh my, you say, Pastor Buddy, I don't read the Bible that way, because it says that in Genesis 4 and 1, and Eve conceived and brought forth Cain after she knew Adam. Well, she did. She brought forth Adam, but she had already conceived in the garden. She was already pregnant when God drove her from the presence, and he commanded a curse upon her seed. from the serpent. The serpent seed was cursed, and the woman's seed would be in a continuous battle with that seed. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why we're having this problem tonight. Of the great mysteries of the mind, man in a carnal state, the Cain state of mind, if you will, the flesh man, the man that dominates most people is the flesh man. You see, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That means that the flesh is stronger than the spirit. If the spirit prevails, then the flesh man is the weaker vessel. If the spirit man is weakened down with the strength of the flesh, then the flesh man is the dominating entity in there. And there's two beings in your corporate being. You have an inward man and an outward man. The outward man is the flesh man that must be conquered, that must be destroyed. Every thought that exalts itself, the carnal mind, every time it comes into play, you must put it in park. Most people put their spirit mind in park and let their carnal mind do their thinking. It's real easy. You don't have to exhort brain power. You don't have to utilize the brain power to think. You see, it's hard to think in spiritual terms. You've got to press to enter into the straight gate in a narrow way. It takes a lot of energy to press into the narrow way. Many will try, but they won't be able. They cannot submit to the divine will of God to love Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and therefore they give Him a half of an effort, and God will not accept any half efforts. They give Him in part. You see, God will not accept anything in part. You must rightly divide the word. Therefore, the Bible is correct in stating that the flood covered only Eretz, that land. The word Eretz, translated into Strong, look it up. It don't mean the whole face of the earth. It means that land, that particular area. Eretz is the word that Moses used. And the translators are wrong when they change the meaning of what Moses really wrote in Genesis 7 and say that the flood covered all of the earth. It's not so, ladies and gentlemen. It is not so. Ladies and gentlemen, this leaves us now with this question. When did the flood occur? If you look in the Euphrates, Tigris, the rivers existing, the four rivers that came out from the Garden of Eden, man is looking through satellite imagery, and we've discovered that there's dry riverbeds running in this general area, and there's four, along with the two present. The Tigris and the Euphrates are still running, by the way. And these other two now defunct riverbeds are satellite imaged in the heavens by satellite imagery. And you can see two more riverbeds running in this general area of Mesopotamia, where Abraham was from. And where we start the generation of Adam in a spiritual covenant. God gave a covenant to Abraham, but it was fulfilled only in Isaac. Abraham had seven sons, with Isaac being the son of promise, and the Bible said that Abraham gave Isaac everything that he had. Everything belonged to Isaac, the chosen spiritual son born to Abraham in his old age through Sarah. Isn't it strange and a paradox that in the Garden of Eden, God's son, Abel, was killed by Satan's son, Cain, and that it took many years after this fact, after Adam and Eve were driven from the garden, that in the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, it says that finally, Eve conceived with a son of Adam. His name was Seth, and this son was the first one identified in Adam's likeness and in his genetic offspring. Isn't that amazing that Cain and Abel are not listed in the genealogy downline of either Adam Adam has not, in his genealogy downline, he does not have the two sons, Abel and Cain, listed in his genealogy. Neither is it listed in the genealogy of Christ in Luke chapter 3. Isn't that amazing? It'll tell you the seventh from Adam. And if Cain and Abel was in the genealogy downline, it would be nine, because Enoch is the seventh, and you have to count from Seth to Enoch is seventh. And if you add Cain and Abel, it would be the ninth, and so therefore, the genealogy will not recognize Cain or Abel as the son of Adam. Adam got his son after he was driven out of the garden. Yahweh got him a son after Satan got him one. Well, Satan, and the Bible says in 1 John 3 and 12, that Cain was of the wicked one. Well, what does this have to do with the flood, Pastor Buddy? It means that because there was only one reason for the flood. Genesis 6 specifies it was because that the sons of Yahweh, the angelic beings, those who were capable of coming to the third dimension and taking on themselves flesh bodies. You say, oh, that's impossible for angels to get a woman pregnant. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh got Mary pregnant when he overshadowed her in the second chapter of the book of Matthew. And the four gospel accounts of the nativity or the scene or the pregnancy of Miriam as she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit overshadowing her. God Almighty is the Spirit, but he got Mary pregnant, so that if that is possible, then let's go back to the garden and see the possibility, because God had already given the angels a command not to marry or to be given in marriage, but to be lords or to watch or to be caretakers to care for man whom he had placed upon the earth. The Bible says that these are angels, guardians, if you will, of the holy sacred meaning of the great mysteries of Almighty God. These were knowledgeable beings. Satan contained much knowledge. The tree that she ate from was his genetic offspring tree, that he was capable of producing a son, and he produced one, and God cursed it in Genesis 3:14. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed, thy seed and her seed. Cursed. Satan's seed, Cain. Cain was of the wicked one, 1 John 3 and 12. Listen, the simplicity of the Bible has been changed by the carnal mind that Eve probably ate something off of a natural fruit tree in a natural setting or a natural garden. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about trees of offspring, genetics. Either make the tree good and its fruit corrupt. Well, you think we're talking about apples here, or are we talking about man? We're talking about mankind descending from these fruit encounters. When Eve ate the fruit, her sexual appetite was awakened. And when the sperm was placed into her vagina, she became impregnated with this son from Cain. Now, in this ovulation cycle of this fertile area where Eve was, Yahweh had to overshadow Eve, and he got the second son. Adam did not get a son until Genesis 5, and then his genealogy begins. The other two are mysteries. You must solve this flooded mystery in your mind. Why did God flood the earth in that area? Was to rid the earth with the angelic beings, because the Bible said that there was war in heaven. Revelations 12:7, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. That war commenced right there in Genesis chapter 6, and it's been an ongoing war. And Satan and his angels were subdued, removed from the earth, and taken into the deep somewhere in space. They were bound for a specific amount of time. Now, the Bible says in the book of Revelations that at the appointed time, the angel will come and loose the chain In Revelation chapter 20, you'll read this, that the chain will be cut and Satan and his angels will again be loosed, and as it was in the days of Noah, they will return to pick up just exactly where they left off, and Satan will rule this earth with a rod of iron until the righteous king who it belongs to, the possessor of the earth, will come and for one last time destroy Satan with the brightness of his coming. Now, first world flooded with water. The second earth, or the second world, will be destroyed with fire. Now, let me show you a quick analogy before I gotta go. My time is coming down here. Let me give you this quick analogy. As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were capable, with the fourth man walking in the fire, of surviving the intense heat of that time. Now think about this. If you've got the Holy Spirit within you, you're going to be fireproof when the fire falls for the second time. But it will destroy everything that will literally destroy, burn up, perish, back to the earth, and then the fire, as a cleansing agent, will cleanse the earth, and we'll have a new age, a new kingdom, a new beginning of Isaiah 66, verse 22 and 23. Read it if you get time. You'll see what's going to happen and how it's going to be set up and who's going to rule and reign, according to Matthew 25, verse 31 through 34. Isn't it wonderful that we have these scriptures to enlighten our mind? I pray and trust that the message has blessed you. If it has, write me, Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Now, call me tonight. I'm in the studio. I'm live. I will take your call. I have one line coming in, so if you will, be patient. If you try to call and you get voicemail, please call back and save me the expense of trying to call you. If you need to call me, I don't know where you're out there. You know my number. If I knew yours, I'd call you. And I preach to you personally, but I don't. So call me. That's my number. Area code 423-626-2172. Let me repeat it. Area code 423-626-2172. I'm live on WWCR. This is the 14th, and we are coming up on 8:49. So give me a call. I'm live. Praise Yahweh. WWCR. We're going around the world on the mighty voice, the wings of an eagle. We're proclaiming the gospel tonight, and that through the charity of the Holy Spirit, for the truth's sake, ladies and gentlemen, we preach truth. We bring it to you raw. We don't edit it. We don't water it down. We give it to you just like the holy unction of the Spirit leads us. And the Bible said the word or the truth is a hard saying, and who can hear it? We know that this cuts right into the core of the carnal mind and tradition. Few there be that find it. We're looking for the few, so we need your help. If you are financially able to help us, we're praying for someone that's really financially able to send us a large offering to help us to offset our tremendous debt load here that we have at WWCR Radio. We got to pay our bills. We don't talk trash. We talk cash here, and we have to pay as we go. So help us out. If you like the truth and you want the truth, and you'll stay tuned to the messages and record them. If you can't record them, call me. I'll send you a tape of this program. If you'll just give me a call or write me a letter, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. Now get that in there, and if you misspell New Tazewell, at N-E-W, two words, T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. Get that in there. Call Dr. Gary and tell him you heard me on the radio. 1-877-289-7439. Pledge some support to Dr. Gary. Give him some encouragement. He needs encouragement. He drags a big load here financially, trying to sponsor Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call, along with Dr. Jack here, 1-888-281-7320. So give him a call and let him know. Now, let me make an announcement to you. If you'd like to be with us in feast and fellowship, much of this teaching will be going on through the feast and the festivals in Andrews, North Carolina. We'll be at Dr. Jack's property in the old-fashioned tent for the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll be there. We'll gather on October the 9th. That will actually begin the 10th day. And the 10th is the full moon where we begin the Feast of Tabernacles. And we'll go through the end of the 17th as we are in fellowship there in Andrews, North Carolina. Now, or if you want to bring your tent and camp out in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of Andrews, North Carolina, beautiful valley there, just like it reminds me of the Rim Basin, and we'll cover this in our next series on part two of the mysteries that flood the mind. Ladies and gentlemen, the mysteries remain mysteries only to the flesh man. The spirit knoweth all things, and they that are spirit discern the things that are hidden from the wise and the prudent. And God revealed them to babe and sucklings. And did you know that God chose the foolish things to confound the wise? Did you know that we will accept readily, sitting in the bell boxes, I call them, places where Baal is worshipped, and the truth is not brought forth? They only give you enough truth to draw you. Oh, they preach love and compassion and worldwide universalism, humanism. That is the extent of their teaching, and it appeals, and two-thirds of the Christians are in that boat. With the people that perished, they were floating in their own minds through their foolish imagination. The Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I got to get out of here. My time is gone. Yahweh bless you until next Sunday night. I love you. Stay with me. Praise Yahweh. Give me a call. I'm looking forward to hearing from you tonight, or I'll look for your letter in the mail. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Yahweh bless you.